Hi, I'm Josh McDowell. Welcome to the audio version of my book, The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers. In the New Testament book of Matthew, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, it's the most important question in the entire Bible. It's also the most important question any of us will ever have to answer. In this episode, we'll look at the way it was answered by the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century A.D. As with just about every other historically based statement in the Da Vinci Code, there is a discrepancy between author Dan Brown's version of the events in question and what is stated in the history books. So let's take a look and see where the facts lead us.
It was all about power, Tibbing continued. Christ as Messiah was critical to the functioning of the church and state. Many scholars claim that the early church literally stole Jesus from his original followers, hijacking his human message, shrouding it in an impenetrable cloak of divinity, and using it to expand their own power. I've written several books on the topic. The Da Vinci Code, page 233.
I thought Constantine was a Christian, Sophie said. Hardly, Teabing scoffed. He was a lifelong pagan who was baptized on his deathbed, too weak to protest. Sophie was surprised. Why would a pagan emperor choose Christianity as the official religion? Teabing chuckled. Constantine was a very good businessman. He could see that Christianity was on the rise, and he simply backed the winning horse. Historians still marvel at the brilliance with which Constantine converted the sun-worshipping pagans to Christianity. By fusing pagan symbols, dates, and rituals into the growing Christian tradition, he created a kind of hybrid religion that was acceptable to both parties. I'm speechless. I wouldn't accept work like this from my undergrads. During this fusion of religions, Constantine needed to strengthen the new Christian tradition and held a famous ecumenical gathering known as the Council of Nicaea. Sophie had heard of it only insofar as it's being the birthplace of the Nicene Creed. At this gathering, Teabing said, many aspects of Christianity were debated and voted upon. The date of Easter, the role of the bishops, the administration of sacraments, and, of course, the divinity of Jesus. I don't follow. His divinity? My dear, Teabing declared, until that moment in history, Jesus was viewed by his followers as a mortal prophet. A great and powerful man, but a man nonetheless, a mortal. Not the Son of God? Right, Teabing said. Jesus' establishment as the Son of God was officially proposed and voted on by the Council of Nicaea. Hold on, you're saying Jesus' divinity was the result of a vote? A relatively close vote at that, Teabing added. I'm sorry, this is very unprofessional. All right, let's talk about the facts. Andrea, would you read these three paragraphs?
Church historians agree that next to the events in the New Testament, the most important event in the history of Christianity is the conversion of Emperor Constantine to Christianity in 312 AD. In brief, here's the story. Constantine's troops were positioned at the Milvian Bridge just outside of Rome, where they were preparing to overthrow the Roman Emperor Maxentius. A victory would, in effect, make Constantine the sole ruler of the empire. But the night before the battle, Constantine saw a vision that changed his life and the history of the church. In the words of Eusebius of Caesarea, who was both a historian and a confidant of Constantine, the emperor was praying to a pagan god when he saw with his own eyes the trophy of a cross in the light of the heavens, above the sun an inscription, "Conquer by this," attached to it. Then, in his sleep, the Christ of God appeared to him with the sign which he had seen in the heavens, and commanded him to make a likeness of the sign which he had seen in the heavens, and to use it as a safeguard in all engagements with his enemies. To make a long story short, Constantine crossed over the bridge and won the battle, fighting under the banner of the Christian cross. Later, he issued the Edict of Milan, decreeing that Christians were no longer to be persecuted.
Thank you, Andrea. Generally speaking, credible historians do not doubt the sincerity of Constantine's conversion, but they do recognize that one did not become or remain emperor without a great deal of ambition and maneuvering. Paul L. Meyer, professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, summarizes what almost all historians believe about Constantine. While Constantine was undeniably a flawed individual, historians agree that he certainly abjured paganism and became a genuine Christian convert. I think the worst thing about Constantine's position toward the church is that he brought political values into a church that had been purified by persecution. Making Christianity an acceptable religion in the Roman Empire was probably one of the worst things that could have happened to the church, as multitudes of professing Christians were encouraged to join the church who, in reality, did not trust Christ alone for salvation and continued to practice their old religions, bringing some of those practices into the church. Some would say, and I would agree, that persecution tends to purge the worst and bring out the best in the church. But to be fair, that was not Constantine's problem. His problem, like all emperors, was preserving the unity of the empire. So, when a forceful speaker named Arius began to attract and mobilize a large following of people who were persuaded that Christ was something less than eternal God, something like a lesser God, Constantine felt both a political and religious desire to end the controversy. So he called together over 300 bishops from all over the empire. Listen to this. Constantine gave the opening speech himself, telling the delegates that doctrinal disunity was worse than war. This intrusion of a politician into the doctrines and procedures of the church was resented by some of the delegates, but welcomed by others. For those who had gone through a period of bitter persecution, this conference, carried on under the imperial banner, was heaven on earth.
So it is true, then. Constantine did arrange a vote on the divinity of Jesus.
Constantine did call the council, and the bishops debated the precise meaning of what had been written in the scripture centuries before. But by no means should you understand that Jesus' establishment as the Son of God was officially proposed and voted on by the Council of Nicaea, as that book said. That is an ignorant statement. However, do not take my word for it. Listen to Peter's words, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, written more than 200 years before the Council of Nicaea. In what is called the Great Confession, Peter told Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
In the Da Vinci Code, Brown claims that Jesus was just a man whose identity was hijacked by a manipulative emperor, seeking to solidify his power base, that the church fathers distorted the facts about God in order to oppress women, and that the foundational truths of Christianity are nothing more than an assortment of mythologies handpicked from various pagan cults. I hope that as we've laid out the evidence, you've been able to discern what is the truth and what is a lie. This is Josh McDowell. Thanks for listening.
The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers, is produced by Campus Crusade for Christ.